The scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. So glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we want to join Curtis in welcoming you to the Church of Christ meeting here at 9th and Main. We want you to come back at any opportunity that you might have. You know, man, I believe every human being really struggles with humility. Being humble as he ought to be. And Christ pointed that out in Matthew 18, 1 through 4. That we are to be as little children in our humbleness. That is, be dependent upon him. Be dependent upon God. The struggle that I believe we all have. And so, as we go through our sermon this morning, our lesson this morning, I want you to know first and foremost, this lesson is for me. Not just for those that are sitting here this morning, but for me. You know, Christianity revolutionized the world in a number of ways. One, it changed man's perception of God. Man, for a very long time, and if we look at the heathenistic views, these idolatrous views, they looked at God as being some cold, implacable deity. Someone that was cruel. Someone that cared not for human beings, but rather was out for their destruction. And the only way that they could get by was to appease him. Christianity changed all that. Christianity showed that God, the Father, was a loving, heavenly Father. Number two, Christianity changed man's outlook toward his fellow man, even his enemies. You know, before Christianity, man looked upon man as kill or be killed. War was, I've got to get them before they get me. Christianity changed that. Christ told us and taught us to love our enemies, even if we love ourselves. We were to love our enemies, love our neighbors. Christianity changed our perception of other men. And three, my friend, Christianity changed man's attitude toward himself. All we've got to do is go back in our history books, go back really to the Greek culture and look at their sculptures of man, and they did everything they could to deify mankind. They looked upon man as being perfect. And if they had a child that was not perfect, they threw him off a cliff. Or they left him out to be exposed to the elements so that he would eventually die. During the time of Rome, if a man wanted a son so badly that he did not want a daughter, all he had to do was take his daughter outside. And sooner or later, somebody was going to come by and take that young lady, the little baby, and raise her until she was old enough to be sold into slavery. But Christianity showed us humility. Showed man how to be humble. That man needed to be humble. And when we go back and we look at the Hellenistic society of the first century, humility was generally looked upon as a sign of abject weakness. Man didn't need to be humble, they thought. If a man was meek, if a man was humble, he was weak. The general attitude toward humility might have been likened to that which we term pathetic. That's how they looked upon those that were meek, those that were humble. The Grecian conception of justice or righteousness was to each one his own. In other words, everybody looked out for himself. You see, Christianity taught us a different concept. Christ taught us a different concept. Through His example and His doctrine, He instigated a change in that thinking. He made a virtue out of the vice, so to speak, of humility or lowliness. And this change slowly but surely crept over the world of the first century, going wherever the gospel was taken. And so let us notice 3 points regarding what it means to be lowly in spirit. We're going to notice the definition, the illustration, and then the application. When we look at the definition, we think of the definition. We need to look at Christ Himself. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I certainly hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going to be looking at a variety of scriptures. So bear with me. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Notice what Christ says of Himself here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, and notice this, lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. He describes Himself in such a way. In Ephesians, or rather Acts chapter 20, verse 19, He was telling the Ephesian brethren, the Ephesian elders there, that He had served the Lord with all humility of mind. So what is the meaning of the Greek root from which we derive the words lowly and humility? When we go back and we look at this Greek root, it inherently carried the idea of littleness, the idea of not rising far from the ground. As Jesus used this word family, rather, it involved the correct estimation of one's own littleness, his own smallness, his own sinfulness, and therefore dependence on God. Friends, that attitude is to exist and be manifested both before God and fellow man. We go and we look in the dictionaries at this word, and we see a deep sense of one's own littleness, a modest opinion of oneself, an absence of assumption. One does not presume himself better than another. No, we don't assume certain strengths or privileges for one's own self. The basis for this virtuous attitude is connected in part to the physical human body. We discussed for just a moment this morning Philippians 3 and verse 21. Concerning the resurrection, let's turn and let's notice that verse again. Philippians 3 and verse 21. Notice the weakness of the human body in and of itself. The King James Version says, "Who shall change our vile body?" The ASV says there, excuse me. The ASV uses a different word, meaning the same thing. It's vile body. When we look at that body, when we consider that body, friends, that body is subject to death, disease, and decay. So we ought not to think too highly of ourselves. Because this body in which we are is corruptible. It is subject to such things. And so in that way, Christ, the Lord of glory, could be and was lowly in heart. Matthew 11, verse 29. Even though He was totally free from the blot of sin, as we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Now, one author wrote of Christ, His human nature was the pattern of all humility, a constant living on the fullness of the Father's love. You think of Jesus Christ and how He lived His life upon this earth. Was He humble? Absolutely. He showed humility in every facet of His life. Every day of His ministry. Another phrase coined by an author was creaturely dependence. That is, all created beings, including angels, should be humble before the God of creation. So that's the definition. What about an illustration? Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Carlin read this for us just a moment ago. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples a lesson here. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They were seeking glory, were they not? "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." How well do small children exhibit the quality of creaturely dependence? When we look at small children, friends, they are unassuming and dependent. They are truly humble. How long would a small child, a toddler, survive without mother or father, without proper care? Friends, that's us in this world. We cannot survive spiritually without Christ. We are totally and utterly dependent upon Him. Marvin Vincent wrote that Christ's disciples should willingly become by spiritual process what the child is by nature. We are to become dependent upon God. We are to be dependent upon God. To lean upon Him. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 18. Christ again illustrates this concept of humility by showing us an unnamed publican. Notice with me verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." So here we have a group of people. Notice that the Bible explicitly says that they trusted in themselves. They thought too highly of themselves, really. Verse 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Notice what Jesus says in verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Who was the humble one in that parable? The Pharisee or the publican? Publican, it says, would not even so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, while the Pharisee, on the other hand, was saying, "I thank you that I'm not as other men are." Friends, who should we be like? Pharisee or the publican? You see, the publican realized his littleness, his sinfulness, and his dependence on God. He realized that he was insignificant, so to speak. He knew where his strength came from. Not himself, but of God. It might well be said, the road to justification is paved with humility. On those lines, turn with me to James chapter 4. James says in verses 6 through 10, concerning humility, James 4, 6 through 10, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, often in this day and time, I believe we've often said this before, you've probably often heard the phrase, the attitude of many folks is, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You ever literally tried to do that? Doesn't work too well. You aren't going anywhere. Friends, notice that James tells us that he that humbles himself, God will lift him up. Not the man that lifts himself up, but rather he's going to be abased. He will be brought down. Now, obviously, the best illustration, notice the child, we notice the publican, but the best illustration, of course, is found in the model of Christ. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul makes it abundantly clear here that we are to have this same mind that Christ had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ was, is, and ever will be God. And yet he gives us an example of humility. And that example is seen abundantly clear throughout his life. We look in Acts 8 and verse 33, and we find there the fulfillment of a prophecy of Christ, that he would be humble even in the face of mistreatment and injustice. Acts 8:33 tells us of that. He suffered that for us. He could have called, as we often sing the song, 10,000 angels. Friends, we've discussed before from this pulpit that it was not the nails that held him on the cross, but his love for you and me. He was humble and submitted himself unto the Father. Who am I as a mere human being to lift myself up? Christ was his was a voluntary humiliation, wherein the Lord of glory became a condemned criminal on the cross of Calvary. He chose to stay there. We have our definition. We have our illustration. And what about the application? Friends, the Christian virtue of being lowly in spirit finds application in everyday life. Let's turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 14. We are to show humility every day in our walks with life. Let's see what the Bible says concerning this subject. Luke 14, 7 through 11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee him come, and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's that phrase again. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How does this apply to me in everyday life? Simply put, my friend, we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Who am I, Josh Romo? I'm nobody. I am but a servant of Christ. And even when I've done all that I can do, I'm still just an unprofitable servant. That's how we ought to look at ourselves. Every day. And friends, it finds application in our brotherly relations. Humility should be manifested in the way we address each other or expect to be addressed. Matthew 28:8-12. Humility is the ground on which both rich and poor meet at the foot of the cross. James 1:9-10. Friends, it's at the cross that the rich are brought lower and the poor are brought up. The cross of Christ lifts up the poor and brings down the high. And for this reason, Christians are admonished to condescend, as we read in Romans 12:16, themselves to low men and things. That is, we are to accustom ourselves in that way. Friends, humility is essential to unity among brethren. We are to look out for one another. As we read in Philippians 2:2-4, not every man is not to look upon his own things, but to look upon the things of one another. That is, we are to take care of one another. And friends, humility is the mindset out of which we will serve one another. Will a person that's not humble, will he serve? Not going to happen. Only the humble will serve. And friends, as Christians, we're called upon to have humility. Let me share with you one final example. Turn with me to John chapter 13. Begin reading with me in verse 4. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now let's stop right there. Keep a finger there, verse 5. Can you see this picture in your mind's eye? Here's the Lord of glory, the King of kings, upon his knees, at his disciples' feet, with a bowl of water and a towel. And he's washing their feet. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter recognizes something here, doesn't he? That it ought to be the other way around. They ought to be washing Jesus' feet. But notice what Jesus says here. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Notice the response of Christ. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now notice here Simon Peter's response in verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Peter realized something. Christ was trying to teach them a lesson. And Peter realized that as Christ had told him that if you are washed not, you have no part with me. Peter says, I'm wholly yours. Not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. Lord, I am yours. Friends, humility is a working virtue employed in ministry. We all have that ministry to seek and to save those who are lost. We're putting away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. One writer penned, "Humility is the most difficult thing in the world for saint as for sinner. And truly, our eternal destinies will be determined by our honesty and our humility." Friends, we have the definition, the illustration, and the application concerning humility or lowliness of heart. Are you here this morning, my friend, having never submitted yourself unto Christ? Would you demonstrate lowliness of heart in giving your life to Christ, turning it over to Him, and doing so in baptism? To be immersed in water to wash away your sins. For that's the reason that He shed His blood. For you. Are you here this morning, my friend, having done that? Have you fallen away? Maybe you've become too proud. Friends, would you exhibit lowliness in heart and spirit by giving your life back to Christ? Would you come right now while we stand and while we sing?